Let God bless you for what you do in other people's lives. I'm going to pick up tonight where I left off Sunday night. Amen. I want to get this through to your heart. I'm preaching on the things that God gives us to make us overcomers. Amen. There are three special ones in the book of Hebrews, and I shared the first one with you Sunday night. Praise God. And that first one is access. Amen. First thing we found was that we had access to the throne of grace. Amen. Now, some of y'all didn't seem all that excited about that. But believe me, hang in there. Amen. The day will come when you'll bless the Lord for access to the throne of God. Amen. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, if you will turn over there with me. In chapter 10 and verse 19. Now, remember the term that Paul used in Hebrews 4 when he told us to come boldly to the throne of grace. But notice verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near, or draw nigh would be better, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your love for us. Thank you for your word that you are able to turn into victory in our life. Father, thank you for the things that you have supplied, and help us, God, in this hour to realize that we are in a life and death battle. And Lord, not just our life, but the life and death of millions of people in this world, the souls that you died for, are waiting for God's people to arise in victory. Father, help us to be one of those victorious ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Kind of give some of my message away while I'm praying here, don't I? Amen. Praise God. You know, so often we are creatures who think of God's blessing strictly in terms of ourselves. We think of what God wants to do for us and what God needs to do in our life and all these kind of things. And the Lord began to deal with me about these things, that there's a reason that God wants you to be an overcomer. If Jesus hadn't been an overcomer, we wouldn't be here tonight, would we? If he had not overcome Satan on the cross, we wouldn't be here tonight. If the disciples and the apostles had not lived overcoming lives, the church would not exist, would it? Now you stop and think about it. The church that has existed down through the ages has always been an overcoming church. Now, I'm not talking about the remnant of those dead churches that have been left behind. I'm not talking about those things. But there has always been, through history, there has always been a remnant of people who have held onto the faith and walked with God. Now, they were never in the majority and probably won't be in this last day. But God has always had a people that have held onto the faith and chosen to walk with God. Amen. These are the people that get the job done. God is looking tonight for those who will stand for Him in victory, and in that victory become those that touch the lives of others. Stop and think about what's happened in the last few hundred years. Just stop and think. You could probably, if you were very good at calling names, you could probably go back into church history a few hundred years, and on one piece of paper, you could write down the name of the men that have shaped the destiny of the church in this hour. Think about it. There were men like Wycliffe, Martin Luther, Praying Hyde, John Calvin, men in America that God tremendously used in the early part of our nation, men that, like Jonathan Edwards. Think of men in England about the same time that the beginning of the Methodist Church. Think of those men, the Wesley brothers, who said, our parish is the world. Peter Cartwright. Men that were tremendously and greatly used of God. We could write down most of these names on one piece of paper. We're not talking about thousands of names. We're talking about just a few names. Men that God has used, Oral Roberts, for instance. Men that God has used, Billy Graham. Men that God has raised up. Names that probably, if I would have mentioned tonight, many of you would not even know. Men that have been tremendously and gloriously used of the Spirit of God. The churches that exist today are mainly offshoots of these men's touch of God in their life. It started with them. The whole Methodist Church exists today because of the Wesley brothers, doesn't it? Amen, Brother Potter. I want you to think about that. When you're driving down the road and you see a Methodist church somewhere, now, I'm not talking about what they are today. I'm talking about what they used to be. I'm telling you what, you know, used to hear the term shouting Methodist. Amen. There was one time the Methodist church had more victory than most folks got today in Pentecostal churches. Well, amen. Men of God that were used. I just finished looking at the book about the Azusa Street revival. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit out there on Azusa Street in California. Men, just a few men, that were so mightily used of God that hundreds of people came to the flame and lit their own flame and took it back, and it began to spread all over the world. Now, are you catching a hold of what I'm trying to say tonight? God has raised up, down through the ages, overcomers, tremendous, powerful men of God that have lit a fire in the hearts of every man they came in touch with who was sincere about walking with God. We are living in a generation right now when God is again raising up overcomers. Now, maybe God is not going to use you in a national way or international way, But if God just uses you right here on the streets you live on, praise God, that's going to bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You never know when you obey the Lord, when you do what you do, when you go to the jails and minister, the prisons and so on like that, and the nursing homes, you never know who you're touching. I don't even know the name of the young man that preached that night that brought me to my relationship with God. If he walked in the church tonight, I would not know who he was. But on that day when he stands before God, God is going to say to him, I want you to look what happened through this one. He doesn't know. He does not know today. He has no idea of the ministry that came out of that particular meeting that night. He doesn't know that. Now, I know you look around you tonight and say, Brother Potter, what are you talking about? There's a handful of people here. I'm going to tell you something. In the last 20-some years of being here and ministering over in Sweden, I have seen over 10,000 people get up from their seat and come down front and give their heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. Over 10,000 people. Praise God. How many of that 10,000? You know, when I go to Sweden, it seems like all the time somebody comes up to me and says, Brother Potter, I was in that meeting that night when God did so and so. And I say, what are you doing now? I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm preaching over here. How many multiplied thousands of people are being reached through that ministry that started over there? How many? The point is tonight, you never know. The man that went in and witnessed to D.L. Moody and told him about Jesus Christ, does he know what kind of fire he started in that young man's life? Hallelujah. Praise God. We get so discouraged sometimes because we don't see big results. I'm telling you, folks, keep throwing out the bait. Amen. Keep fishing for the Lord. Keep hanging in there. You never know what God's going to do in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just keep banging on. Amen. Now, I want you to understand that God has provided something special for the believer. We talked about access. These are the three words, are the three phrases we're going to use from the book of Hebrews. Every one of them begins with access. The first one that I preached on Sunday night, praise God, was access to the throne of grace. The second one tonight is access to the presence of God. Now you say, Brother Potter, what's that different than access to the throne? It's a lot of difference. Amen, Brother Potter. Amen. I appreciate y'all being so excited, but calm down enough where I can preach to you tonight, all right? Hallelujah. Access to the presence of God. I want you to understand, folks, the presence of God is not just something that you just, like, you know, when you go to the throne, you're actually praying, aren't you? Isn't that right? When you come boldly to the throne of grace, you're praying, aren't you? That's a type of prayer. But I'm going to tell you something, folks, you don't have to be praying to have the presence of God in your life. Amen. I want to just give you a few scriptures to think about tonight. Very quickly. In Genesis 3 and 8. Now, you don't have to turn there because I'm going to go through them very quickly. It talks about how Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. Think about that. Why? Because they had sinned. Sin will cause you to be alienated from the presence of God. Genesis 4 and 16. It says that Cain went out from the presence of God after he had killed his brother. Exodus 33 and 14. God spoke to Moses and said, my presence shall not go with thee. Why? Because the people had built the golden calf and sinned before God. And then Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, then carry me not up there. Amen. I don't want to go without you. Proverbs 16 and 11. David said, in thy presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. Amen. In the 51st chapter, when he had sinned with Bathsheba, he said, "And cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Psalm 68:2, "Let the wicked perish at the presence of God." Amen. There's something that I love that psalm anyway. "Arise, O Lord." Amen. Talking about the moving of God. In 95th Psalm, "Come before his presence with thanksgiving." The 100th Psalm, "Come before his presence with singing." Enter into his presence with singing. And to his courts with praise. 139th Psalm, David said, "Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Remember how Job, he said, "Lord, I just can't seem to find you anywhere. I look to the right and the left and the north and south, east and west. Can't seem to find you, God." Well, he's looking in the wrong place, wasn't he? Amen. Praise God. David said, "There is nowhere that you can go that you can flee from the presence of God." 140th Psalm and 13th verse, "The upright shall dwell in thy presence." Jonah, when he decided not to go to Nineveh, it said he arose to flee from what? How many know what he fled from? You know, if you're in disobedience, you're trying to run from the presence of God, aren't you? And when Peter was preaching in Acts 3, in verse 19, Peter preached about when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. I think about Solomon when they were dedicating the temple, how in 1 Kings 7, I think it is, where the presence of God came so strong, amen, that a glory cloud filled the temple. Amen. And the priest himself could not stand to minister because of the presence of God. Hallelujah. And in Hebrews 9:24, it talks about how Jesus has appeared in the presence of God for us. So I want you to understand that there are four or five things here I want to bring out to you as quickly as I can tonight, because I know time will get away from us if we're not real careful here on this message. I want you to see tonight that God has made a way for you to live in his presence. Now, when I go before the throne of God, I am to pray always in the Spirit. God has already let us understand that. We're supposed to pray in the Spirit always. And why do you pray in the Spirit? Because the Spirit prays according to the will of God. Amen? Have we got that yet? All right. God did not give us prayer so that we can twist the arm of God and get what we want. He gave us prayer that we might flow in essence with his will. Amen. But now, the access to his presence is something else. What the access to his presence does in your life, how many of you know one of the first things that happens in the presence of God is victory? Amen. You know, sometimes I see Brother Butch, and the first thing he says, "Well, are you walking in the faith and the victory?" Amen. Praise God. You probably heard him say that, haven't you? Amen. And if you know that the presence of God is in your life. Now, I don't know how many of you know what I'm talking about tonight, but do you understand the presence of God in your life? Amen. You are living in Jesus Christ. He lives in you, and you live in him, and he ever lives at the right hand of the Father. That is why in that chapter it tells us we have access to the presence of God here. We have access to this is what it means, the presence of God, because Christ lives ever in the presence of the Father. Praise God. And so as we are living in the presence of the Father, then you should have a sense in your life, you should have a sense of the presence of God in your spirit all the time. Some of you are looking at me like, "What are you talking about, Brother Potter?" Hey, folks, grow up. Get a hold of this thing. Amen. You should have in your heart and in your life a continual sense of the presence of God. Wow. Well, first thing I understand about that is if the Lord be with us, we can take the land. Hallelujah. If you are living in the presence of God, amen, you are walking in the Spirit. Should I say that again? If you are living in the presence of God, you are walking in the Spirit. When I start to do something that God doesn't want me to do, immediately there is a check that comes into my spirit from the Holy One who resides in my heart. Well, come on now, folks. I'm still tired from that trip. I don't know what y'all's problem is. Praise God. Hello? I laid down this afternoon about 3 o'clock and just like to not got back up again, you know. I got back up, but my body kept saying, go back and lay down, you know. Praise God. But folks, now listen, I want you to understand this. You need for God to make this real in your heart. If you're living in the presence of God, people come to me all the time, say, Brother Potter, how do I know the will of God for my life? Get in the presence of God. Amen. Live in the presence of God. Be aware of the presence of God in your life. Once you come to that understanding of the awareness of God in your life, you will find yourself walking and living in the Spirit of God. You start to say something that God doesn't want said, He says, don't say that. Have you ever had that happen to you? You start to do something that the Holy Spirit isn't pleased with, He just all of a sudden said, wait a minute here, that ain't right. Hello? How many of you fellows ever been telling how big a fish it was you caught? And the Lord said, now, I don't believe it was quite that big. You know, well, he was like this, you know. Hello? Do you see what I'm talking about tonight? The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. That is the presence of God within you. God gave you his presence to make you, first of all, an overcomer. Why do you think God gave you the Holy Ghost? So you could speak in tongues and dance in the music? No, praise God. Now, nothing wrong with that, but what I'm trying to get across tonight is God put the Holy Spirit in your heart to make you an overcomer, that His presence might dwell with you continually. Hallelujah. Gideon was out thrashing grain in the field. Angel of God come to him and said, go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? And, of course, you know the answer Gideon gave. Well, Lord, if you're with us, where be all the miracles? And so on like that. And God answered and said, listen, the Lord is with thee. Surely I will be with thee. Amen. Verse 16 of that sixth chapter of Judges, surely I will be with thee. Now, he was going to face a number that no man could even number. And yet God spoke to him and said, I want you to do this. I want you to do the job. And this is the reason you're going to succeed. Hallelujah. Because I am going to be with you. Hallelujah. Folks, it don't matter what God tells you to do and what the odds look like. If God says, I'm going to go with you, success is guaranteed. Well, glory. David was told by the Lord, 2 Samuel 5, that he was going to go and gain a great victory over his enemy. But God told him, what I want you to do is go down there and wait by the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of a marching, now listen to this now. When you hear the sound of a marching in the mulberry trees, then go forth. Amen. How many armies do you know that march in the top of a mulberry tree? Praise God. Well, amen. God was saying, you wait till my presence goes with you. I'm going to send my army with you. Not the army that you're going to take, but the army I'm going to send. They're the ones that give the victory. Who do you think brought the victory when Joshua surrounded Jericho? Who do you think it was? That ragtag army of people that came out of Egypt? Or was it that host of the Lord that Joshua saw that day? and said, "Are you come for us or enemies?" No, I'm come as the captain of the Lord's host. Amen. We are with you. Brother, when God is with you, you are assured of victory in your life. There's no reason for defeat. There's no reason for the enemy to take you down when the presence of God is in your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you ever been alone? Ain't many folks in life like to be alone. You ever been alone in the woods? Not a pleasant feeling. Or maybe in a nice big house at night, all by yourself. How much better do you feel if you know there's somebody else in the house with you? Huh? I mean, they may be at the other end of the house. They may be sleeping at the other end of the house. But how much different do you feel when you just know that somebody else is there with you? The second thing that the presence of God ministers to us is comfort. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what the number of things that I have faced in life, and the only comfort that I had was knowing that God was with me. Praise the Lord. Just simply knowing that I wasn't walking alone in this thing. Hallelujah. That God was with me has given me the strength to go through whatever I have faced in this life. Praise God. I remember going through some very tremendously difficult places in my life. And as I faced those things, the only thing that sustained me, I went through a trial one time that was so severe that I just felt like I was losing my mind. Now, I'm not trying to give you an open shot at me here. Some of you probably think I didn't make it through that all right. But that's all right. Amen. I remember the attack of the enemy and the oppression being so severe that there were times I didn't even know who I was. Such a severe oppression of the enemy. But I knew one thing. There was one thing that I knew for sure, and that was that God was with me. I knew that. And that sustained me in those times of trial and testing that I went through. The third thing that I want to give you tonight is acceptance. When you sense the presence of God in your life, you know that God has accepted you into His presence. Amen. When you sense that, you see, remember how God rejected Cain? Remember that? The reason God rejected Cain's offering was because He rejected Cain. Are you listening to me? By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. God accepted Abel. Amen. By faith. He accepted Abel. He rejected Cain. The substance of the sacrifice and what they offered spoke of their own heart. Do you understand that? God rejected Cain because of the condition of his heart, not because of the substance of the sacrifice. He accepted Abel not because of the substance of the sacrifice, but because of the condition of his heart. God accepts us. We are made acceptable in the Beloved. He accepts us because we come to Him by faith in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ and washed with that living water. I read it to you right there. We come before God, and to know that God accepts you, I think, is the most marvelous thing in this life. Amen. Praise God. God rejected man. God drove man from the Garden of Eden. God drove man from his presence. But to know that God accepts you here and now, not on terms of how good you are, but on the condition of your heart. Israel brought sacrifices to God, and God rejected her. He said, it's not your sacrifice I want. That's not what I'm after. 51st Psalm, David said, God, it's not these animals that you want. He said, what you really want, the real sacrifice that God is after, is a broken and contrite heart, a repentant heart. That is acceptable to God. He was required to have on the day before the Day of Atonement, they would separate in that month, the first month of the year, they would separate unto God a lamb. They would separate and they'd look at it and make sure that it had no blemish or fault. And they would separate it, inspect it for 4 days. And then on the 14th of that month, they would take that lamb in the evening and they would slay that lamb before God. And they would sprinkle that blood and he would enter into the holiest of holies. And he would sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat. And all of Israel would wait to see what happened. And there were bells. Did you know there were bells on the bottom of this man's garment? And when he was in there ministering before God, the bells were ringing. Praise God. That they had a man that stood outside of the holiest of holies with a staff. And if the high priest came on there unfit before God, if he came in with a lamb that wasn't right, God could kill that high priest, and they had to reach up under the curtain and drag that priest out if God was to kill him. And I'll tell you what a joy it was for all of Israel to stand outside of the tabernacle and wait for the high priest to come out after he had offered the blood of the sacrifice. Why? Because they knew when the high priest came out, glory to God, that God had accepted their sacrifice that year. And that meant that they had a pure and abiding relationship with God. And I tell you what, Jesus was accepted. And because he was accepted, so are you and I. Now, maybe that doesn't mean to you what it means to me, but I tell you what, if God had not accepted me in Jesus Christ, I'd be a hell-bound sinner this evening. I'd have no chance at eternity. I would live forever without God, but thank God tonight, I have been accepted in the Beloved tonight. Amen, and I thank God for that acceptance. Number four. In thy presence, O Lord, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. I am telling you what, when the Lord is in his temple. I've told you before what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians, where he described that we are the temple of the Lord. That word temple there is the Greek word neos. It doesn't describe the building proper. It describes that little place, that secret place where nobody could go but the high priest once a year. Amen. And in that secret place was the holiest of holies. Amen. And in that holiest of holies dwelt the very glory of God, the presence of God, the marvelous life of God. And God says about the church, he said, you are to me as the holiest of holies. You are my holiest of holies. And I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord is in his temple, there is joy in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. When you recognize the presence of God, listen, unequivocally, without exception, I have never prayed for anyone that in that anointing brought him into the presence of God. I have never prayed for anyone who said, well, I feel the presence of God, but I'm so depressed. Hello? One person came up one time and said, Brother Potter, I'm depressed. I said, well, God's got a cure. laid my hands on him, said, God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Spirit began to move, began to fall upon that person. And after a while, I'm telling you what, the frown got turned upside down. A smile came on that face. The glory of God filled that heart. Amen. I've never seen a person that recognized the presence of God in their life that was not filled with joy. Now, what Satan works at in your life, he tries to oppress you to where you can't sense the presence of God. He tries to dull your senses. He tries to get you to look outwardly. He tries to get you to look at circumstances. He tries to get you to look at anything except the presence of God within you. And when you recognize the presence of God within you, you are going to experience joy. It always comes. It always is there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I know that's going to sound good on tape. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. That's not just a song, people. Hallelujah. And with joy you draw waters out of the well. Some of you folks can't draw out of the well because the devil stole your bucket. Hello, faith is the rope and joy is the bucket. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's exactly why the devil's trying to steal your joy, trying to blunt you, trying to get you thinking about how bad it is in your family, how mean your kids are, and all that kind of stuff, and how raunchy your husband and your wife is, or whatever, or how bad your job is, or your boss is, or how bad your day was. Why? Because if he can keep you from looking at the Lord, if he can get you to take your eyes off of Jesus, folks, you're going to sink, and he knows that. Peter wasn't very far from the Lord. And when he took his eyes off of him, the storm began to drag him down. I'm telling you what, folks, it's almost every day we get in some kind of storm in our life, don't we? And if the devil can take your eyes off of the Lord, he's going to steal your joy. And you're going to start sinking into this worldly mess and be caught up in it. And God wants you to get your eyes on him and recognize him in your life, because in his presence is fullness of joy, and it is with that joy that you draw from the wells of God within you. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Don't you love him? Amen. And the last of these things tonight is peace. I'm telling you, when the presence of God is in your life, there is a peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. The world is coming apart at the seams. Amen. Glory to God. Everything seems to be going wrong around you, but it doesn't take your peace. Amen. It doesn't take your peace. Now, I'm not going to tell you that sometimes the world can't get your mind distracted. I know that happens. But again, if you get away from that distraction and focus upon Jesus Christ, you're going to find the peace of God within you. Paul wrote to the church of the Colossians, and he said to them, let the peace of God act as an umpire to you. Amen. Let the peace of God direct your heart. I'm telling you, I know how I'm walking with God by the peace of God within me. You want to know what it means to walk in the Spirit? Then concentrate on the joy of God in your life and the peace of God in your heart. When my peace is disturbed, God's trying to tell me something. And that's when I'm going to go back to step one and come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, my peace is disturbed. What's the matter? Amen? And when my peace is disturbed by something, I want to know what it is. Amen? I want to know whether I should take one step forward and two steps back, or whatever the case might be. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what I'm doing. I've started to do certain things that there wasn't anything wrong with them, and, you know, as far as that goes, there wasn't anything that I was thinking about a time when years ago I wanted to buy a little car. Excuse me. That cold's still coming out. Amen. Praise God. We had a real nice big Bonneville Pontiac, and it was about that time we were moving to Decatur up here, and I was going to start traveling by myself, and I found this little old blue Camaro that I wanted, and I wanted to trade for it, and I looked good in it, really did, you know. It drove so much nicer than that big old Pontiac. That Pontiac drove like a big lumber wagon. And I tried to buy it and was trying to get it, and I kept losing my peace. Well, I ignored it. Went ahead and bought it anyway. And did I pay for it? Amen. Well, that was the problem. I couldn't pay for it. After I bought it, I never made the first payment on it, not the first one. Lost everything. God taught me a very difficult lesson. Amen. You better pay attention when you lose that peace. You better pay attention to the peace of God in your heart, because God uses it to get your attention. When the Lord is on His throne and is ruling in charge of your life, you're going to have that peace. But when you start moving out of that, you're going to lose that peace. When you start trying to do what God doesn't want done, you're going to lose that peace, and you better pay attention to it. You need to back up and say, Lord, now wait a minute, what's wrong here? What's happening? Let God speak to your heart about His peace. I hope this message is helping you a little bit tonight. In the presence of your enemies, I was thinking of Elisha at Dothan, when the enemy surrounded him by night. And he got up the next morning. Now, his servant got up first and went to the housetop. And he looked out over the wall of Dothan. I don't think it was Dothan, Alabama, but somewhere over in Israel. And if it was Dothan, Alabama, it would have been rednecks surrounding him. But it wasn't rednecks. It was Syrians. Amen. There were Syrians all the way around the city. And the scripture said that this young man just come unglued. Amen. To put it in contemporary language, his knees smote one against the other. His knees was knocking. And he called, "Oh, man of God, come up here." And Elisha came to the rooftop and looked out over the wall and saw all the same thing that the young man saw. Praise God. But there was a difference. There was a difference, folks. Hallelujah. The difference between victory and defeat in your life is knowing that you're living in the presence of God. Amen. I don't see anywhere in this scripture where Elisha lost his peace. I don't see anywhere here where Elisha said, "Oh God, what are we going to do? I've served you all these years, Lord, and look what's happened." No. He said to the young man, "What's bothering you?" Amen. There's more out there for us than there is for them. And I'm sure the young man looked at him and thought, "Man, what are you talking about?" Elijah said, "You ain't seeing things right, boy." Laid his hand on him, said, "God, open his eyes." And when the young man's eyes was open, he saw that the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire. Hallelujah, round about Elisha. Praise God. The difference between victory and defeat was what they saw. The man who was living in the Spirit, the man who was walking with God, the man that had the peace of God in his heart, he saw more than what the other man saw. When Israel went out and looked at Goliath, they were afraid. Unbelief measures giants. Amen. Unbelief measures giants against us. Faith measures giants against God. Hello? Now, folks, I know tonight without God, I'm nothing. I know that. But I know when I am with God, hallelujah, the odds are on my side then, amen. I know that when the Lord is with me, hallelujah, Gideon took 300 men, a nothing, a nobody bunch, against an army that could not be numbered. And God gave them the victory. God doth not save by few or many. Hallelujah. Folks, if God be with you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. I said, if God be with you, who can be against you? I think sometime we're just like Gideon. Lord, if you're with us, where's all the miracles at, God? Hallelujah. I believe we'd see more miracles if we'd recognize his presence. Now, there's something that can cause you to lose the presence of God, and that is sin. Samson lost the presence of God. Judges 16 and verse 20, Samson wist not or knew not that the Spirit of God had left him. The source of his victory was the Spirit of God in his life. Saul, King Saul, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Why? Because of sin. In the days of Samuel, when God's people became distraught because of the sons of Eli, God brought judgment upon Israel. The ark of God was taken in battle. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed in the battle. And God wrote Ichabod over the door of the tabernacle. How many of you know what Ichabod means? The glory has departed. Israel had a great victory at Jericho and a tremendous defeat at a little town called Ai. Why? Because there was a man by the name of Achan who had sinned. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you want the presence of God in your life, you don't walk in sin. You don't walk in sin. You walk in the presence of God. You don't walk in sin. Now, if God has dealt with you about something in your life and you have not surrendered it to him, then you're not going to have his presence. You're not going to be aware of the presence of God. And that's another thing that Satan tries so hard to do, is to bring us into some little sin. You see, it don't take a big sin. You don't have to run off with somebody's wife or rob a bank. Solomon said, let's take us the foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If you walk in sin and rebellion against God, you will lose the presence of the Lord. You'll lose it. You won't have any joy. You won't have any peace. You won't have that comfort. You won't have that victory in your life. And that's exactly what the devil's after. He knows as long as you live in the presence of God, you are indomitable. You are invincible as long as you live in the presence of God. He knows that. And I want to encourage you tonight. If you're doing something in your life that's costing you the presence of God, lay it down. Because that's the very thing that's keeping you from having that victory that you want in your life. and certainly the thing that God wants to be in your life. I don't want to end on a sad note here tonight. Amen. I just want you to understand God has made this thing available to you, and if you don't have it, folks, it's your own fault. The word access to me means God has opened the door and said, folks, come on in. Like the old folks used to say, the latch key is out. Amen. Praise God. Come on in. If you don't take advantage of what God has done for you, it's your fault. It's your problem. God has made it available for you. If you didn't have anything to eat, and I opened the door to my house and said, come on in and I'll feed you, you could stay out on the front porch and starve to death. Or you could come on in to a banquet. Praise God. I like what little Jessie says sometimes. She goes over and looks in our freezer and opens up our pantry and she just says, I ain't never seen so much food in all my life. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Folks, the door is open, the table is set, and God's saying, come on in. Now, it's up to you where you live. It's up to you if you live in the presence of God or not. If you want to live on the lower level, if you want to live where you're always, always wondering whether you're going to be making it tomorrow or not, if you want to live in that place where you don't know whether you're saved from one day to the next, if you're comfortable living there, God help you. I'm telling you, folks, you can live in another place. Hallelujah. You can live in the presence of God. You can live as one who stands before God. Hallelujah. Like Brother Butch says, you can walk in the faith and the victory. Amen. I like that. You can walk in the faith and the victory because God has given you access to His presence. Amen. Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. I only got one more for you. I'm not going to start it tonight. Amen. I got one more for you. There's one more thing in the Bible that talks about access in the book of Hebrews. And I'll give it to you. Probably Sunday morning. We were working on it. Amen. I want you to understand this access thing. Praise God. Sunday night, Brother Roland Smith is going to preach for us, and I think we'll have a big time and a glorious time. But I want you to get some thought to what I'm talking about. Folks, I'm not preaching this because I don't have something else to preach. Hello? There's sermons in this book y'all ain't never heard. Hello? There's a bunch of stuff in here. Praise God. I got five things right here. Amen. That we could talk about tonight. Amen. Just in that one opening there. There's a bunch of stuff in here you haven't heard yet that God spoke to my heart. And you know where God speaks to me? In His presence. Maybe I'll just tack that one on the end as we close tonight. You want God to speak to you? Stay in His presence. You want God to talk to your life, visit your life, bless your life, minister to your heart, give you words to share with others, give you ministry for others. It is born out of ministering to God, which means spending time in the presence of God. Amen. All true ministry is born in the presence of God. I'm not going to say tonight that I have exhausted this subject. No, my friend, I've just opened it up for you. You can look into this thing and probably find 100 things in the presence of God that'll fill and bless your heart. Amen. I'm not saying this is a complete sermon. Amen. I'm not saying that I have told you everything, amen, that can happen to you in the presence of God. No, sir. Amen. But I've told you enough. I hope it made you hungry to live there. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Potter, what if I make mistakes? Don't worry about it. God knows you're not perfect. You make a mistake, First thing you do is say, Lord, throw some more blood on me. Amen. Amen, Lord. Cleanse me. Help me bury this thing. Amen. But let me live in your presence, God. The saddest thing I can think of for a Christian is to live outside the presence of God. Saddest thing. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your presence. Even tonight, as I have delivered this message, God, I have sensed that glorious presence of God. Thank you, Father. God, help us to live in thy presence. And whatever there be in life, God, that costs us your presence, help us, O God, to forsake it tonight. Whatever there be, God, that costs us your presence, no matter whether it seems to be sin or not, whatever costs us your presence, Father, help us to lay it down. Oh, God, help us tonight to live in the presence of God. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand out. Told me we're going to pray for the book tonight. Father, we love you again tonight. We thank you for your presence. Again, we bless everyone in this book, God. We bless them. We bless them in you tonight. We bless them, Father. Minister to these needs, oh God. Minister to these hearts. Minister to these people. Oh God, do that which is impossible, even improbable, God. But do it in such a way that it ministers your glory, where all men may rise and call you blessed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. I love him tonight. I hope you do too. Amen. Is there anything to be said tonight before we go? Chris? All right. Yes, ma'am. Amen. We're a little shy in getting started on it, but we're Monday. We're going to try to get it going Monday. Amen. So, we've had to modify some things because of circumstances, but what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to have the church open every evening from 7 to 9 every evening. So I wish we could keep it both ways, but with the convention coming up and things like that, we got too many irons in the fire unless somebody else can be here, you know. But pardon me now? Where you're still, you know, if you find time to pray in the morning, please do so. But we're going to try to have the church open starting Monday, every evening. And those who can come and pray, I know everybody can't come, I understand that, but we're going to try to be here every evening and pray for a couple hours. And the last 12 days of this that we're doing, we're going to do like we did last year. We got several different churches that are involved. We're going to be visiting those churches and fellowshipping those churches and having services in different places and just having a great time in the Lord. Amen. And I do want you to seek the Lord, and if the Lord moves upon you to do a little fasting, or you know, I'm not expecting you to fast 40 days or anything like that. I'm just saying that if the Lord moves upon you to fast a meal or two or whatever during this time, please obey the Lord. You might seek him about what he wants you to do in a week's time, you know, or whatever. The Lord may move on different people differently according to your job, according to your things you have to do in life. God knows. He understands. So you seek the Lord as to what you're supposed to do. And obey the Lord. That's the simplest way to put it. Obey the Lord. And we're just going to seek God. Now, today, the Lord spoke to my heart when we were in the pastor's prayer meeting. And I really feel that what's going to happen first is that God is going to move among the black community first. I really sense that there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the black community. Amen. I don't know why, but hallelujah. Brother, I don't care where God starts as long as he starts. Amen. Praise God. And we had tremendous prayer with Brother Steve Jameson today. I feel like God's going to pour it out on his church. Amen. And so we're praying. We're going to pray that he is the point on the drill that gets through the hard rock and lets the water start flowing. Amen.